You see, followers of Jesus, when you determine to go all the way, you say, I'm cutting the strings. I'm never going to go back to who I was again. I'm making a clean cut. I'm moving into the future.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, I'm Mark Job. Welcome to Straight Talk. We're in a season right now leading up to, well, the Super Bowl of Christianity. We call it Resurrection Sunday or Easter. It's a time where millions of people throughout the world pause and remember the most significant event in history, which is when Jesus Christ defeated death and sin, and he went into that grave for 3 days. But the greatest thing about him going into the grave is on the third day. Yeah, 3 days later, the grave could not hold the Son of God down. He resurrected with power and authority and reigns on high at the right hand of the throne of God. So we celebrate resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday. I want to challenge you, if you live around the Chicagoland area, northern Indiana, Wisconsin, whoever's hearing my voice today, I want to challenge you to make the most of your Easter. We've discovered that this is a time of the year where a lot of people who normally do not go to church, well, they feel like they need to go somewhere, do something religious. And my experience has been that most people, if they're invited, will have a positive response during the Easter season. So why not make sure that you invite someone to the church you attend? Make sure that you don't let this opportunity go by leading up to Easter, not inviting people that are really looking for somewhere to go. I want you to think right now of three people that you need to invite to church with you. Think of them. Three people that are on your most wanted list. Maybe it's a prodigal that hasn't been to church in a long time, but the Holy Spirit has been working on their heart. Maybe it's someone that is not a believer yet, and you may think that they're not even open, but the Holy Spirit may have been working on their heart, awakening them with a spiritual hunger. Or maybe it's someone that needs to be revived. I call it reborn, restore, or revive. I have my 10-person most wanted list that I've been praying for during these weeks leading up to Easter that God would work in their lives. So I want to challenge you, make the most of your Easter season. Reach out to someone. It could maybe just be that this Easter, they will experience their own personal resurrection. Let's get ready for today's program.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. We conclude our message today called How Can I Avoid Becoming a Spiritual Casualty, which is part of our current series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. Our text will be found in the book of Mark chapter 10. Let's get into the Word with Pastor Mark in this edition of Straight Talk.
There'll be people around you that don't want you to be intense about your pursuit of God. There'll be crowds around you that think you're a little fanatical, like you're going a little overboard. Just nod at me if you know what I'm talking about. How many of you have to have family members and friends saying, hey, you're getting a little too into it, aren't you? I mean, it's okay. I'm glad you're going to church, but come on. Like, do you really have to, like, read your Bible on a regular basis? I mean, do you have to turn on that radio stuff? Do you have to be? I mean, you're getting a little overboard, aren't you? I mean, I'm religious too, but you seem like, hey, you're just, like, really into this. Hey, weren't you just at church last week? How come you have to go again? What's up with that? You see, because oftentimes the crowd around us will try to discourage the intensity of our pursuit of God. Imagine what would have happened if this blind man would have listened to the crowd. Imagine if he would have become self-conscious and said, well, maybe I shouldn't shout out as loud. Maybe I shouldn't press in as much. Maybe I shouldn't pursue God. Maybe they're right. Maybe I'm becoming a little fanatical. Maybe I should not be so intense in my walk, in my pursuit, in my trying to reach out to God. And what if he would have quieted down? What if he had allowed the crowd to make him stay in his place where they expected him to be? I believe that he would never have encountered Jesus if he had allowed the crowd to quiet him down. Here's what I want you to understand about Jesus. I love this about Jesus. I love the fact that Jesus is never put off by people that intensely seek him. I mean, Jesus calls him. He hears him screaming in the crowd and he says, "Call him to me." Do you remember the four men that bring the paralytic before Jesus and he's in the house and they make a hole in the roof? Jesus isn't put off by that. Jesus honors their faith because when people are seriously, intensely seeking after God, the Bible says that the heart of God responds to people that are desperate for him. You know what it tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13? It says, "You will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." You know what it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6? "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, but he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." Diligently means that you are passionate, earnest, serious about seeking him. You see, a lot of people don't find God because they're not intense enough, serious enough, diligent enough to pursue him. See, a lot of people want a little religion sprinkled on their life, but they don't want to get serious about seeking God. A lot of people want a little bit of religion and a little bit of God, but I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to go to an altar and get on my knees. After all, people may think I have problems. Hello. I don't want to weep. And there are some of you grown men that the Spirit of God tries to get a hold of your life and you just fight it. I've had men tell me I had to walk out of service. Why? Because I started to cry. I don't want anybody to see me cry. You see, oftentimes we want to hide the fact that we desperately need God. Oftentimes we're not comfortable with our need for God in our life. And we hold back our need. We hold back the expression of seeking God. We don't want people to know how seriously we need God. And so we hold back. We fight it. We pretend. We put on a charade in front of people. We're dying on the inside. But we don't want anybody to know how desperately we need him. And the Bible says that God responds to people that are brokenhearted and desperately need him if they're willing to pursue him. That releases the heart of God. That God is not afraid of that. That the heart of God goes out to that. Blind Bartimaeus began to speak out, "Jesus, Son of David." Now, what does this expression "Son of David" mean? Well, Jewish people knew that the Messiah would come through the lineage of David, King David. And so it was another way of saying, "Jesus, I believe that you're the Messiah. Have mercy on me." The second thing I want you to understand from this story, I'm talking about if you're stuck. First of all, if you're stuck, you cannot allow the atmosphere around you, the people around you, to discourage your intensity of the pursuit of God. Secondly, write this down. You must come to Jesus with the expectation that you will never return to your old life. This is about learning to let go. Notice what he says. So he's crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on him." Jesus stopped. I love this. He had to go to Jerusalem. He was focused on his mission, but he stops. And all the crowd stops with him. Jesus hears the calls of the desperate man, but I believe in the spiritual realm, he senses the desperation and the faith of this man. He can't see this man because the man is on the ground. He's sitting, and the crowd is standing. And Jesus stops, and all his disciples stop, and he turns to his disciples, and he said, "Bring him to me." And the Bible says the disciples go out there, they find the blind beggar that's screaming and saying, "Jesus," and they go to him and they say, "Cheer up, be of good cheer, be encouraged, he's calling you." And so he jumps up and they start taking him to Jesus, but you may not notice this phrase. At a first glance, you can just kind of glide over this, but I think it's important. It says, "So they called the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.'" Verse 50, listen to this. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. Now, do you know how important a cloak is to a beggar? Have you ever seen homeless people on the streets of Chicago with their big, dirty coats on? Or the blanket they wrap around them? To them, that's their home. I mean, they've had some of those, some of them have had that blanket or that coat for years. It's what they sleep in, what keeps them warm. It's their portable house. They're attached to it. This blind man jumped up and he threw off his old cloak. You know why he threw it off? Because he was approaching Jesus in faith. I believe he threw it off. He didn't say, let me wrap it up, take it with me. He didn't say, hold on, let me take it. He jumped up, threw his cloak off because his cloak, his mantle, that old dirty blanket, it symbolized who he was. He was not planning on ever going back to who he was. He was planning on having an encounter with Jesus that would transform his life. You see, some of us want Jesus, but we sort of hang on to the old still. We want to walk on the water like Peter, but we want to have a hand on the boat. Here I'm going, Jesus, but let me hang on to the boat just in case it doesn't work out. Oh, I'm going to come to the altar and give my life to Jesus all the way. Oh, Lord, I repent. I repent of my old lifestyle. I'm leaving that old girlfriend that I have. We're no good for each other. We just use each other for sex. It's over. Hey, have you called her up and told her it's over? No, well, not yet. I haven't. I told God, but, you know, just in case it doesn't work out, I still have her number in my little black book. Well, hold on. Are you going all the way or are you going halfway? You see, the Greeks, in the early days, the Greek armies had a practice when they invaded a new land. They would oftentimes land on the shores of a new land, and what they would do, as the armies got off of the boats, one of the first acts they would do is they would burn the boats. Because the commander wanted everybody in the army to know there is no going back. We're here to stay. We're conquering. This is our home. There is no, just in case it doesn't work, we're on our boats back again. No. We gotta burn the boats.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message entitled, How Can I Avoid Becoming a Spiritual Casualty? Which is from our series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Mark, chapter 10. Our message is called, How Can I Avoid Becoming a Spiritual Casualty?
You see, I believe that Jesus responds to that kind of faith. I believe that Jesus responds to the kind of faith that says, God, there is no going back. When I repent, I am not leaving an open bridge to my old life. I am cutting off the ties. I am burning the bridges. I am declaring it up front. Have you told any of your friends that you're following of Jesus? No, not yet. Just in case it doesn't work out, I haven't told anybody. Hold on. You see, the faith that changes people is a faith that says, I'm going to Jesus and I believe that I will never go back to who I was before. I am going all the way, not leaving a exit door just in case. I'm going all the way. That's the faith that changes people. Blind Bartimaeus, he threw his cloak aside. He jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. I'm wondering if you've ever done that, like all the way. hey, Jesus, I'm going to follow you all the way. I'm counting on you to really calm my nerves and calm me down. I have an illegal dependence on Vicodin. Jesus, you are going to be my comfort, my calmness, taking away my anxiety. You come to Jesus that way. Listen, you haven't taken all the step if you still keep Vicodin in your medicine cabinet, because you know you've gone all the way when you take that Vicodin and you pour it down the toilet. That's when you've gone all the way. Are you tracking with me? You see, you haven't gone all the way if you say, God, you're liberating me, but you know, you still keep that six-pack of Bud Light in the refrigerator, and you said it's over, you're not going back to drinking anymore, getting high anymore. You know, it's not over if you still keep it in the closet. It's not done with. You see, followers of Jesus, when you determine to go all the way, you say, I'm cutting the strings, I'm leaving it in the past, I will never go back to my old dirty blanket again. I'm never going to go back to who I was again. I'm making a clean cut. I'm moving into the future. And the last thing I see here, I love this. Finally, they bring him to Jesus. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Write this down. Thirdly, if you're stuck and you're moving out of that place of being stuck, you must come to a place where you can speak out in faith your need before God. Now, does it seem a little weird to you that this blind man who's been screaming and hollering, they finally bring him before Jesus, and Jesus looks at his blind eyes, Jesus looks at the white of his eyes, he knows he can't make it on his own. Does it seem a little strange to you that he looks the blind man in the face and says, what do you want me to do for you? Hello? It's a little obvious. Now, anytime that Jesus asks a question, it's never because he doesn't know the answer, right? So if Jesus never asks a question because he doesn't know the answer, he's omniscient, so he always knows the answer. He doesn't ask questions to gain information. He asks questions to do something in our life. He asks questions so that we will think about something to lead us to the next level. Anytime you see Jesus in the Bible ever asking a question, it's not for information. It's because he wants his disciples or the people that he's asking to learn something from the question that they are answering. So when Jesus asked this question, what do you want me to do for you? It's more for the blind man. Here's the thing. Sometimes we have a need for God, but we have never specifically, openly spoken out our need with our lips. How many of you know there's a line that's crossed when you just believe something in your heart and finally you have the courage to speak it with your mouth? Romans chapter 10, when it comes to salvation, verse 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your hearts that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with the heart that you believe and are justified, but it's with the mouth that you confess and are saved. I want you to hear me well. Look up at me. Listen, if you don't believe something enough to speak it, you probably don't believe it enough. You've been dating a girl for 7-8 years. Honey, I love you. You know that. Okay. How about standing in front of a crowd of people with a pastor, rabbi, priest in front of you and declaring your love? Well, I've seen big grown men shake like this and faint when they have to speak it. Because there's a level of commitment. There's a level of faith. When we speak it with our mouth, we're verbalizing something inside of us, and we've just crossed another line. There's a lot of people that are fond of saying, well, God knows my heart, and I believe God knows your heart, but if you believe it enough, you speak it. Hey, Don't tell me that you're saved, but you've never spoke it publicly. Don't tell me that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, but you've never professed it with your mouth. Don't tell me that you've repented and given your life to Christ, but you've never spoken it verbally with your mouth. It's like saying you love her, but you're not willing to commit to her. Listen, if you really believe it, you speak it. And if you can't speak it, then it means you don't believe it enough to speak it. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, there comes a point in time in your life that you come before him and you say, I need you desperately. I need you to save me, to change me, to alter my life. And if you cannot say that publicly, then listen, you don't believe it enough to seek God intensely about it. And I believe that this blind Bartimaeus, God wanted him to speak out his need before him. He said, what do you want me to do for you? And finally, for the first time in his life, he has an encounter with Jesus and he says to Jesus, I want to see. Something happened there. Rabboni. Rabbi. Rabbi means teacher. He uses the word Rabboni, which is a beefed up version of teacher. It means Lord and teacher. I want to see. The crowd holds their breath. Jesus looks at the blind man. Now suddenly the request in faith, desperate faith, meets the presence of Jesus. And when desperate faith meets the presence of Jesus, Jesus releases power into this blind man because he has encountered faith that's willing to speak and willing to act. And when faith encounters the words of Jesus, there's a dynamic spiritual combustion that occurs, and Jesus has the ability and power to release into his life, and he says, go! Your faith has healed you. Now, who healed this man? Jesus healed this man. But it was because of his faith, his belief, his willingness to speak it that Jesus was allowed to release healing into his life. You see, Jesus always wants to heal, always wants to save, always wants to deliver, always wants to change, but he operates on our faith. And when Jesus encountered a man of faith, he said, go, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the way. I love this. The boldness to come to Jesus and say, I need you. I speak it out. That's why when I ask people to come to follow Jesus Christ, I ask you to come forward to this altar. You know why? I ask you to come forward to this altar and I ask you to repeat a prayer where you actually speak it out. You know why I do that? There's a lot of ways we can choose to follow Jesus Christ, but I want to make sure you have enough faith. I want to make sure that you have enough faith to be public about your decision. And I want sure you have enough faith to speak out a prayer of commitment and repentance before God. Because if you just say, well, it's something I've done in my heart, I don't believe you have the boldness to really make a decision that will last in your life. I believe if your biggest decision is to follow Jesus Christ, you have to have the boldness to come public in front of other people and the boldness to speak it out with your mouth and the boldness to get on your knees and the boldness to let other people see, I need God in my life and I'm not ashamed of it.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe, and this has been the conclusion of his message called How Can I Avoid Becoming a Spiritual Casualty? It is also the conclusion of our series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. We hope that you've enjoyed this series. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you with your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We'd love to invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. You can check out all of our locations and the times that we meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you, and please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us again on the next Straight Talk. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your listenership. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night, and God bless.